Welcome to the Authentic Life Connection Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Lusk. I'm a master certified life coach, author, personal trainer, and nutrition specialist. For over a decade, I've been helping people with their dreams and goals for their life and health. I spent many years watching people get frustrated with their journey in life and giving up on taking actions towards their goals. So I dug in deep to find answers to why so many of us face this same frustration and struggle in life. So in this podcast, we're going to dive in deep on topics surrounding what it means to consistently live a fulfilling and authentic life, where you are unstoppable in taking action towards your dreams and goals. So the only question is, are you ready to start living your most authentic and fulfilling life once and for all? Then let's get started, shall we? Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. For those of you listening in for the first time, welcome, welcome. You picked a great episode to join in on for the first time because for the first time on this podcast, I'm having not just a special guest, but I'm having a guest on the podcast today that is actually a coaching client of mine. So I talk with you all a lot about the value that coaching provides for people's lives. I talk with you all about the importance of working with a coach when it comes to living your most authentic life. And hearing it coming from a coach, some of you all may be kind of tuning it out and thinking, well, of course, you're supposed to say that you're a coach. So I decided I'm going to start having some of my coaching clients that are willing to and comfortable with coming on the podcast to come on and talk with you all about what it's been like hiring a coach, working with a coach, and what they've learned, how it's changed their lives, the difference between coaching and other solutions that they've tried, to sort of give you all an understanding from the perspective of the person being coached, kind of what to expect, what to look forward to. And also, so you guys know that I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass when I tell you that coaching is effective and my coaching is effective and that it truly is helping people change their lives. So this week, I have a special guest coming on. His name is Tomasz, and he's been working with me for, I think, a little bit over 2 years as a coaching client of mine. We've done so much great work together, and he has just transformed his life in so many different ways over the last 2 years. And I asked him, as my first coaching client to come on the podcast, to please, well, I asked him to please be the first of my coaching clients to come on the podcast and speak. And he was very generous and gracious in accepting and saying, yes, I would love to come on the podcast. So he's going to join us today and talk with you all about his experience of working with me as his life coach. Enjoy the episode. All right, everyone. So today I'm bringing you guys a special guest, and this week we're doing something a little bit different than what I've done in the past. So my special guest this week is actually a coaching client of mine. He's been with me since almost the beginning of when I first started offering life coaching as a service, because beforehand I was doing mostly personal training and nutrition, and has stuck with me for, what is it, like 2 years now, I think, that we've been working together?
It's almost three.
Almost 3 years that we've been working together. So this is my client, Tomasz, and he lives here in Zurich with me, but before he used to live in Geneva in Switzerland. So I'm going to let Tomasz introduce himself to you all, and we're going to talk with you all a little bit today about what it's been like for him having a coach, and hopefully you all can get something out of this for those of you who are considering working with a coach, and that maybe have some thoughts about or questions about what it would be like to be on the receiving end of coaching instead of just hearing it from me as a coach. So Tomasz, do you want to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Seth. Hello, everyone. It's an honor being on your podcast, Seth. I've been an avid listener since it started. Many times I brought back some of these thoughts to our coaching sessions as well. So it's a little funny to be on, but I hope it's going to be useful for everybody who listens to us. My name is Tomasz. I am 38 years old. I live in Zurich, but I'm originally from Hungary. I started working with you about 3 years ago, as we said, at a moment in my life which was particularly difficult for me. And I felt that I need every help I can get to make sure that I move forward with my journey. And we'll speak about that a little bit later, on what that was and how you managed to help me. And it has been the most wonderful connection to you. I have learned a lot from you, and I hope that some of that can transpire during our conversation today.
Awesome. So we're going to talk today about your experience working with me as a coach. And you guys know I'm not over here like holding a gun to his head and telling him he has to say anything. So I've told him to speak as candidly as possible. So I just want you, Tomas, to kind of relax, have fun, and let everyone know what it's been like having a coach and also having me as a coach. So the first question I want to ask you is, before you started working with me, what did you think life coaching was, or did you even ever think about it before deciding to work with a life coach?
I did hear about coaching a lot before we started working together. I work in a corporate environment, so every once in a while you heard from colleagues that, "Ooh, I have a coach doing this, that, and the other thing." And I have always been very skeptical about that, to be honest, because I really had no idea what is it that a coach does and how it can benefit an individual. So before we started working together, I have been in somewhat of a rough patch on different things in my life. And I started going to see a therapist in Geneva before the pandemic in person and then during the pandemic online. But I felt that it wasn't enough for me. It was very helpful, but I still felt that I'm missing something. And that's how I listened to recommendations from friends who have been coached before, and they said, "Why don't you find a life coach for yourself that could probably help you?" And then you were one of the people on the list that I talked to, and you've put me at ease at the very beginning, which was not something that many other people have done. So that was a decisive factor, and then we started working together, and already after the first session, which was a discovery session, I kind of talked about what my problems were at the time. You mentioned how you usually work together with different coaching clients. We managed to build a relationship of trust, which I think was extremely important that it started so early. If it's not the right style, if it's not the right person, if it's not the right connection, it's not gonna work. So that was really a big enabler for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were when you say, because I think this is something that a lot of people think about when they think about working with a coach, is how do I know if I can trust the coach? So for you, what was that process like of recognizing, okay, this is an environment, a space in which I can trust that it's a safe space for me to talk about everything going on in my life?
I think I had a good experience coming from a few months of therapy beforehand. So I kind of knew that there's a privilege in being a client and that nothing that is being said during a coaching or a therapy session will be used or divulgated later on. But at the same time, there's a lot to be said about one's kind of personal connection. And a lot of that was you resonated with some of my problems. You mentioned that I'm not the only person having this problem, and you have had clients or friends having similar issues before, which to me already creates a sense of belonging. Many times when we're in a dark place as human beings, we feel that nobody else had that problem before, and we're unique in trying to deal with that situation on our own. And already that gives a lot of comfort when we hear that that's not the case. And more importantly than that, you have already tried kind of canvassing out some avenues of coaching that we eventually went down on. And that gave me a lot of confidence that you knew what you were doing. There was no magic or falsehood around the coaching relationship, which was one of my original concerns. And that really helped corroborate our first few coaching sessions after that.
Awesome. What was it like going through the process of looking for a life coach and hiring a life coach? What was that process like for you?
It was a very interesting process because it was one of those things that I've been, as I said, very skeptical about. So for the longest time, I wasn't even certain this is going to work for me. I had this image in my head that I'm way too special to be anyone's coachee, and coaches will start screaming for the hills and run away when they start listening to me. Thankfully, that wasn't the case with you. So that helped. I think there was also a lot of excitement about it. As I said, I was already undergoing some therapy at the time, and I really felt that it gave me a lot, but it didn't give me enough. And I was really hoping that coaching can kind of like close that gap. In my mind, the therapy was very helpful for me to understand what my issues were, where those issues have come from, how I can slice and dice the problems into kind of bite-sized chunks so I can start dealing with them individually. But I felt it didn't give me enough tools to work with those problems. And that's where coaching was really a big kind of step change, because it was very practical and it helped me answer the how. How do I move forward with this? What is it that I can do about it? And it was a very nice combination for about a year when I've done both therapy and coaching sessions in parallel.
So I know you mentioned, obviously, you just said that you've done therapy. Had you tried any other solutions prior to going into therapy as far as to get you to a place in your life where you felt comfortable, confident, and like you were building a life that you wanted to be in 100%?
I've tried a few things, yes. So usually when, for me at least, when I have problems, I usually ask around my friends and see if anybody had any similar problems before, especially people that I already trust and know and look up to. It's easier for me to open up about this. And I've tried mindfulness, I've tried meditation, I've even went to yoga classes and tried to see if maybe that's going to unlock something in me that I didn't know about. And I'm not going to say that they weren't helpful. That wouldn't be true. But there was no breakthrough moment. Even if I stuck with the practice for a relatively long time, it felt somewhat empty. I didn't quite know what I was going for. And I was just kind of getting into the practice of doing it for no target, no goal. And that has changed after therapy and coaching have helped me figure out what the issues are that I need to work on. I've also looked into physical therapy, movement and dance. That helped a lot to connect with my emotions. But then again, it's one thing to realize that you have emotions, and it's another thing to understand them, interpret them, and then do something with that. And that didn't come from any of these other practices.
So what would you say is the, I don't know if I want to say the biggest, but the difference for you that stood out the most as far as when you started working with me as a coach, what was the difference for you in that process versus any of the other things that you had tried before?
There was an element of familiarity. We have quickly established that even if you didn't have the exact same problems that I had at the time, you had other clients, you had other friends who had something vaguely similar. And there was that element of familiarity that also inspired confidence in me, in your abilities to help me through this. And second of all, already during our second session, you have given me a few models and tools that, yes, at the beginning needed a lot of practice for me to be comfortable around, but that helped me understand what I was going through. And also, they helped me understand that there's a reason to the madness. Like all those thoughts and emotions that were just circling in me, around me all the time, there's a reason why they appear. There's a reason. There's something that they tried to say, and I just didn't know how to listen to them before. And with those techniques, tools, templates, it did give me a lot of structure in which I could place them and kind of be more familiar with them.
Awesome. And what surprised you the most? I guess, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but kind of wasn't what you expected when we started coaching together.
There were two things, and my reaction to the two things have been somewhat similar. So first of all, as I said, I was very skeptical before we started. And I thought that I'm kind of a unique situation and a real nutcase that nobody can solve for. And really fast, over 3 to 4 weeks, at the time we had weekly coaching sessions, I realized that both of these weren't true. And that came as a big relief and also as a big surprise because I have been skeptical for the longest time. Even my therapist at the time told me, like, why do you have to be so intelligent as to doubt everything? Like, that's okay, that's just who I am. And I did doubt all over the process with you too, but then the results started to appear, so there was no reason to doubt as much anymore.
So, since you brought it up, what would you say the results in your life, what were the biggest areas of change or results that you saw in your life from coaching? What was that?
The thing that people around me noticed first, and that was a very big change in my personal life, was confidence. I have been for the longest time very apologetic about my presence. Why am I being in the room with all these other people? How am I getting a word to speak? Strangely enough, that wasn't the case in a professional setting, but even among some of my friends, I have not been entirely myself. I really found it difficult to say no to anything. And I really found it difficult to push back on certain things I didn't like, both at work as well as in my private life. And the confidence that we managed to build, and I kind of managed to realize that being confident isn't necessarily being mean. There's a big difference between the two. That was the first thing that was noticed around me after the first 2 to 3 months. And we're talking about lockdown, so it's not that people had a lot of physical opportunity to experience that around me, but it already transpired through screens, through the ways I expressed myself and handled some of those situations that none of us really wanted to handle.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say if I had to say one of the things that I saw the biggest change when it comes to when we started working together versus where I see you are now, it would definitely be confidence, because I remember when we first started working together, I think on our first call, I counted, I don't know, that you apologized maybe 20 times for saying something, and you were almost afraid to really think about what it is that you wanted and say it out loud without giving a disclaimer afterwards about how silly you thought it was. Or and to see you now being able to form a sentence like this and just say it and be okay with it is great. I find that to be really fascinating to watch that transition for you over the last couple of years and how you've been able to really just kind of show up and talk about what it is that you want in life without having to feel like you constantly need to apologize for it.
No, on top of that, I also returned to dating, which was missing from my life for a very long time. And I had my successes and my failures with that process after I restarted again on the scene. And that was also something that's quite different from the time when we started working together. And I think the big underlying thing that I received in different forms and in different rhythms from our coaching relationship is clarity. I'm much more self-aware than I have been. I have been relatively self-aware already when we started, but being apologetic and self-aware isn't a good combination either. And I really didn't know what my personal goals were in life. What is the reason why I want to live? And what is the kind of life I want to build for myself? What are the kind of people I want to have in my life, and what are the kind of people I'm okay to have in my life, and what are the kind of people I really don't want in my life? And what are some of those things, some of those values that make me go forward? And in all of those aspects, as we started working together, gradually, so much more clarity came to my life. And not only in terms of what I thought, what I wanted, also what I felt, how I experienced certain situations around me. I come from a family that wasn't the easiest to navigate as a child. I'm a middle child, so that comes with its own blessings and problems. And also in my family, I found it much easier to stand my ground in some of the family situations, usual Christmas family drama and the like. And then again, that's a reason that's a direct consequence of having more clarity on what is that role being a middle child in the family, and what is my role in my family, trying to keep things together when they need to be kept together a little bit more.
Yeah, I remember we spent a lot of time talking about boundaries with your family and you being able to establish healthy boundaries, which are about you and what you want and what you're going to do in response to situations versus feeling like, oh, if I set a boundary, it's about me trying to force other people to do things that I want them to do. And then also the other thing, you mentioned this earlier, talking about confidence and the fact that you felt like if someone who's confident means that they're being arrogant and mean. And what would you say if I were to talk to you now about confidence, how do you feel about using that term as a way to describe your behavior or yourself?
It's a great question and a great segue from clarity, because I think without clarity, you can't really be confident. You need to have a certain ground on which you can build that confidence. And that comes from you being clear on who you are, what you know, what you want, and what are the things that you usually like, love in life. And that's true in a professional as well as a personal situation. It doesn't have to be very different. For the longest time, I felt that confidence came from being very good in a subject matter. And those were the only situations in which I felt I came across confident, when I was very familiar with the subject matter. I was an expert. I had a lot of reading done about a certain topic. And then over time, I realized that being confident is a little different than that, is actually being very clear on who you are, what you bring with you, which comes from your education, from your family, from your life experience, and also what you want in life, because that largely informs on how you behave. And confidence is realizing, for me personally, it was for me realizing that I'm not responsible for anybody else's problems, issues, thoughts, and emotions that I may provoke in other people. I'm only responsible for what I bring to the table. And if that's presented in a manner that is empathetic, that is not aggressive, then that's just received in a confident manner on the other side too. And confidence and arrogance are not synonyms.
I remember this took us a little bit of time to get to sort of get you to a place where you could see the difference between confidence and arrogance. And I'm really glad that you brought this up. The fact that confidence actually stems from someone knowing who they are and loving who they are. And because of this ability to know and love who they are, they're able to actually know and love other people for who they are even more. Versus arrogance is about this comparison, and it almost comes from a space of scarcity where there's not enough goodness in the world. So you have to be the expert at something to be good enough. And arrogance is about trying to show that off to diminish other people so that you can feel good enough. Like you're the expert, you're better than everybody else at something. And I think this is a struggle for a lot of people to recognize the difference between those two. But I know we did a lot of work around that. And I remember when we first started working together, there were a lot of question marks for you in your self-image, as far as who do you believe that you are? And I feel like now I'm sure there are still some question marks. I'm not sure that at any point in time humans get to a place where there isn't a single question
It would be
mark.
very boring if that happened. Yeah.
But I feel like you are able to now navigate who you want to see yourself as, who you want to believe that you are, and help to answer those question marks versus shying away from them and feeling like someone else has to tell you who you are, even if you don't agree with it. and that you're not allowed to know who you are. You just kind of have to leave those question marks out there to be answered. And I feel like now you are a lot more at ease and confident in establishing an image for yourself of this is who I am. This is what I want out of life. And yes, it's still going to evolve, but I'm doing that from a space of already knowing who I am and who I want to be.
Thank you, Sad. One of the things that this reminds me of is another area that we spent quite a bit of time working on, and that is the area of what our values are as human beings. What are the values that you want to show up with in any kind of new situation, new circumstance, and the weight of expectations in any kind of situation and circumstance. Expectations for me was one of those buzzwords which just sent me down in an anxiety spiral as soon as it was even started. Didn't have to be finished. Exp, and I was already gone. And I had a very difficult time for the longest time to discern what were expectations that I have about myself, what are expectations that other people may have about me, explicitly or implicitly. And what are things that I believe are expectations, but they're not? And that also kind of helps inform the confidence, because in that situation where everything seemed around me to be an expectation, obviously I wasn't confident in anything, because many times those were very conflicting. And now that I still have to check in with myself every so often, like, is this really an expectation, or is this just something I interpret as an expectation? But I feel that that also contributes to this clarity, to my ability to bring light into a situation. And when I say light, I don't use that term very lightly. It's everything that I try to bring into a situation, from humor, empathy, and my values, and a lot else. It doesn't have to be very spiritual in terms of meaning.
And you mentioned your values several times. And this is kind of with all of my coaching clients, the first process that I take them through is really remembering what their core values are. And values is a word that gets thrown around a lot. And I feel like a lot of people shy away from them, or they think they already know what their values are. So can you talk a little bit about that as far as the process that we went through in you discovering your core values? Because I think before we started working together, you had an idea of values for yourself. But I think they shifted a little bit when we really took a look.
Before we started that particular exercise, I remember one of our first conversations. I already mentioned to you that I'm very clear on one of my values, and that is independence. And that informs a lot of the things that I do, part of the reason why I don't live in my home country, and so on and so forth. But with the exercise that we went through, and some of the conversations around how we approached that exercise, and why certain things were easier for me, and why certain things were a bit more difficult. As you said, a lot of the things have shifted. It was one of the exercises I enjoyed the most, because it felt like doing crosswords without knowing what the outcome's going to be, but knowing that there's going to be an outcome. And that was very exciting. It was somewhat of a struggle for me to really be very clear on some of the value definitions. Many times, especially in some of us that come from more traditional societies or families, we feel that the word value has to be something that kind of weighs you down, that's somewhat of an anchor, not in a good way, something that pulls you down. It kind of is the backside of having an anchor as well. But it doesn't have to be that. For me, a value is kind of more kind of a guideline or a guardrail of some sort. If you imagine a plane landing, to me, the values are the little lights that help the plane find the runway. And in that sense, when we narrowed down that, okay, probably my core values are these 3 to 5 items, it helped me understand a lot of the struggles I had with my current life situation at the time, because I couldn't see all those values being properly present in my situation at the time. And again, that's just one more motivation to make changes and be clearer on where I'm going.
Yes, absolutely. So one other thing is that, we're talking about your core values. And a lot of times when we talk about values, what ends up happening is people look out there for what society values, like what are people that they look up to, what do they value? And they look for people outside of them or systems or communities outside of them to sort of signal to them what they should value in life. And I feel like because we live in a world where this is sort of how we're taught to approach what we want out of life, what we value in life, I feel like people look at coaching as probably being the same thing. That it's a person that's just going to tell you this is what should be important for you in life. This is how you should live your life. This is what you want to do with your life. And this is this sort of like advice giving and mentoring. And a lot of people out there are confusing people because they are advice giving and they're mentoring and they're calling it coaching. So I want you to speak on that a little bit. The difference between receiving advice and mentoring versus what it was like to receive coaching.
That's a very rich question, and I have a very personal opinion on the matter. So, I come from a family where my four grandparents had five or even six religions between themselves. So, a lot of us as human beings start off in a family where it's either very clear that we have some values that stem from the religion the family follows, or we don't follow a specific religion, but we still believe in a few core values. Now, in my family, that was a source of a huge confusion. And in a very natural and very human way, when you're confused, you'd rather not talk about it. So we didn't ever talk about it at home. Then I go to school. I see some values that I feel are expected of me. And that's how the whole weight of expectations are being built from a very young age around me. One of the reasons I was very skeptical about coaching before we started was that I thought it's basically just a corporate word for describing a guru and a sect. And nothing could be further from the truth. Let me make it very clear. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who misuse the term coaching to describe what I just described, but that's not what it's supposed to be. So if you have one of those situations, run for the hills. The big difference to me is that whenever we talk about any problem, any situation in a coaching meeting, in a coaching class, you ask me questions. You don't tell me what to do, what to think, but you ask me questions that kind of help me navigate around a situation or a problem. And many times, by virtue of asking those questions, I deduct what the situation is and what the answer to that situation needs to be. And if I don't, then we usually did a few follow-up exercises to make sure that I get that clarity on my own. So I love my friends and I turn to them for advice a great deal of times. Advice we impart to others comes from our own experience. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't always work for somebody with a different life experience. And for coaching, every answer comes from our own life experience, not from yours as a coach, not from my mother's, not from my father's, not from my friends, only from mine. And that is a huge, huge difference. As you also said, many times answers are in our head sometime very well hidden, and we just have to find a way to find that little bullet that it contains that answer. And coaching is a way to kind of build a map to find some of these bullets in our minds.
Yes, I think that's a really great way to put it. Absolutely. And this to me is like you said, the biggest difference that I see in people who are actually coaching and people versus people that are giving advice and mentoring is in a coaching session, you will hear from the coach, 90% of what comes out of their mouth is going to be a question, not an answer. And if you ask the coach for an answer, they're probably going to return your question with another question.
Which was extremely unnerving at the beginning, I have to say.
Yeah.
So if somebody is starting up a new coaching experience as a coachee and all they get is questions from their coach, that's normal and it's okay to feel frustrated about it. It's part of the process. It serves a purpose.
Yeah, I think so often we get sort of taught, it's like learned helplessness when it comes to our own thinking, our own opinions, our own thoughts going on in our head. We're taught to actually tell ourselves that we're confused about it and that we don't know, and then look out there for someone to tell us what we should know, what we, and I think for a lot of people, that experience of someone holding space for them to not allow them to go into that space of, oh, I'm confused, I don't know, you tell me, and pull them back out of that and say, nope, come on, come on, we're going to look here. What's there? What do you know? And then we use that to sort of guide into finding the answer that we're looking for. And I feel like this is for me when I started working with coaches and started doing coaching myself. I think this is one of the most powerful tools of coaching is being able to create that space where someone feels safe and feels guided towards not letting their brain tell them they don't know.
One of the things I hated the most in our coaching sessions at the beginning was whenever I said something to the point, I don't know, you just sat around with a wry smile and said, I think you do. And I, like, thank goodness we did those online because I was ready to punch at one point in time. But I learned to live with that in the sense that, yes, it's part of the process and it only tries to find a way to help myself. And that's the other big difference, I think, in terms of what are the good coaching questions and what are the good questions in life that we can ask about different things. A coaching question is always an open-ended question. And I learned a lot from you that I translate in my own work practice as being a leader of whenever we have a problem as a group, I ask some of those difficult open-ended questions to understand what our thinking is collectively about a certain issue.
That's really awesome. That's good. I'm happy to hear that you're using these questions in your life because they really are. I mean, really, the one of the most powerful parts of coaching is the line of questioning. And when you know how to ask the powerful open-ended questions that get people looking at the circumstance in a way that's different than how they were looking at it before, it's just really cool to watch. Like you can see it on people's face when all of a sudden it's like things start clicking into place and they're like, I got it now. It's and all you had to do was ask them the right question. Yeah. So you said in the very beginning that you've been listening to the podcast since day one, because when we first started working together, I didn't have the podcast yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
And so you've been listening since episode one. I don't know if you've listened to every episode, but I'm sure you've listened to a lot of them. And I know there are a lot of people out there, and actually, I've even had some people tell me this in their free consultation call. And I don't tell them, no, you shouldn't do that, but I do kind of laugh a little bit internally. And I say something, I'm like, if you believe that's what coaching is, then I really think that you might want to give coaching a try because that's like about 1% of the work that I do with my clients in coaching. So what would you say to people? Because I think hearing it from me, they're like, well, of course, you're the coach. You're going to say that. So people out there that listen to my podcast who think that, oh, I can just listen to the podcast and that's the same as getting coaching from him. Because I think, again, people think that coaching is about getting advice. What would you say to someone like that?
Let me try to give an example, and I'll try to make it very brief. The difference to me is like going, knowing that you need to buy something new, be it a piece of clothing, be it household electrics, be it anything. So you go to different stores, you check a few things out, you try to get the lay of the land. That's the equivalent of listening to the podcast. It's entertaining, it's helpful, it's going to help you get closer to your goal, no wonder. But it doesn't replace actually trying things out. Actually going into the booth, trying the new piece of clothing on, actually touching the new phone that you're about to buy, browsing the book that you're interested in, and that's a coaching session.
Awesome.
And it doesn't replace one the other. It can be a means to an end, but it doesn't replace the real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think podcasts add value to people's lives. Absolutely. I mean, I actually got into coaching because I started listening to a coaching podcast. And then I was like, I want a life coach. Like I was listening and I was like, this woman and the life coach that I was listening to at the time, it's a goal of mine to eventually work with her, but at this point in time, she's so big that like you need to be a millionaire to have enough money to invest in coaching with her. So you can take some of her classes maybe, but it's eventually a goal of mine. I want to work with her one-on-one as my coach. But when I listened to her podcast, I felt so inspired. I was like, I want a life coach. And so I started looking for life coaches and working in with life coaches. And then eventually I was like, I want to do this. Like, this is some powerful stuff here. And yeah, it my whole kind of transition into life coaching came from listening to a life coaching podcast. But I will say that even though that podcast added value to my life and it taught me so many different things, it was nothing compared to sitting face to face with someone who can actually look at me in my life and call me out on my own bullshit and get me to see it and be like, oh, okay, you know what? Actually, I never noticed that I was doing that, and I never thought about looking about at it that way, and really getting me to see that where I was putting up boundaries and saying there was a wall there when really it was a door that I was afraid to see the door handle on, having someone there to kind of guide me to see that was a completely different experience than obviously listening to a podcast, someone telling me facts about, I don't know, life coaching concepts.
One of my favorite episodes on your podcast is the episode where you speak a lot about food industry obesity, the reasons why we as humans struggle with weight,
A big fat
in general.
misunderstanding.
Yes.
Yes.
And then again, I remember one of our sessions where I brought my own body image and self-image issues to our coaching session, and it took us more than the half of the session to actually come to the point where we could ask a question, because I was just so emotional about it. And I was literally like blocked, like couldn't answer any question for 20, 30 minutes, because it was so deeply buried down inside of me that I didn't have any ways of accessing any kind of other emotion than just hating the way I looked. So that again is kind of a reminder that listening to the podcast is inspiring and it's great, but it doesn't replace a hard session like that. And before anybody gets the wrong image, sessions like that are maybe 5 or at max 10% of all the sessions we've done. Most of it is fun, lighthearted. We laugh about myself because I can laugh about myself, which is helpful. But there are those that we get to, and yeah, it's too emotional. So there was crying involved at one point in time, and it's part of history now.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. That was actually when we did that coaching session face to face in person at my studio,
Yes.
early con, I
Yeah.
believe. Yeah, I remember that. So we've worked together for quite some time. And I want you to talk about most of my clients when they start working with me. I have several offers as far as coaching offers. Most people go with that commitment of 3 months working with me. And I think that's what we did together in the beginning. We
That's how we started. Yes.
yes. Because that's usually my first recommendation to anyone. If they're like, hey, I would like a recommendation, what do you think I should start with? I always tell people, 3 months minimum commitment, because it's that 3 month period where you first start seeing these big shifts start happening in your life. So I wanted to ask you two things here about that. Number one, if you had stopped working with me at 3 months, do you think that what we had already worked on and shifted in your life would have already had a big impact on your life at that point in time?
That's a very tricky question. And there's a very good reason why it's very tricky. If you had asked me this question at the time, at the end of our initial 3 months period, I probably would have said, yeah, I'm already feeling much better. I have much more clarity. I'm much more self-aware. Thank you for helping me get to this stage. Great. I'm moving on. Looking at this from the perspective where I am now, a bit more than 2 years later, I wasn't ready at all. We were barely scratching the surface of some of the things that had to be shifted in my life. And I'm saying it, they had to be shifted because I was feeling so miserable about them at the time. So for me, 3 months is a good period to experience one another. Are the styles, are the emotional responses, is this still working? Is this still appropriate? Do I feel I get something out of it? Yes or no? So 3 months is a great way of starting. But then what I've done is I asked you when we were speaking about reconducting that contract, what other options you have. And then I contracted for a longer time, knowing that I had much more shit to bring. And that resolving that will take a longer period of time. But you've been extremely flexible about that. So I remember cases where I had a breakdown and I was just emergency calling you of like, I don't know how this happened. I was doing so well. I was with my friends. And then suddenly I just got blocked in my head and I ended up crying in public because of something. And we managed to make sense of it. And at other times when I needed a bit of a break because I felt that things were becoming really heavy just by virtue of working at them and on them, you've been gracious enough to grant me a break, but you also had me committed to come back, which was, in hindsight, a very good move from your side. I was probably ready to disappear at one point in time. All of this to say that we're all different the way we handle our problems as human beings. You also have the flexibility to respond to all of these different situations as a coach. And that coaching is really serving me as the client. So I had a lot of difficulties getting into that mindset, especially at the beginning, because I was like, okay, I have a coaching session. I got homework. I need to deliver. Again, weight of expectations, trying to people please all the time. I'm sure I'm not the only one with that profile. And it took me some time to realize that I'm the one who's bringing up topics. So I set the pace. So I decide how much time I want to spend on one topic or another. Or if maybe there's a topic that I don't even want to touch on because I don't feel it's as important at the time. Well, over 3 years, I guess everybody can imagine we managed to cover most everything, but it had to be paced.
Yeah, absolutely. So you brought up something really, really interesting here because this is one of the I don't know if I you can really call it a paradox, but it's one of the interesting things about coaching is that, like you said, at the end of your 3 months, then if you had looked at where you started versus where we ended at the 3 months, you would have said, okay, I've already made shifts, like things are changing for me. I'm good. And some people choose to do that. And what's so interesting is that people that work with me for only 3 months, if I talk to them like a year or a couple of years later, they're still shifting stuff in their life based on what we did during those 3 months. So it has a snowball effect in a person's life. But here's one of the other side of this is that when you work with a coach for a longer period of time, it's not like it just you reach a point where it's like, oh no, coaching can't work for me anymore. There's always more to go deeper. And the longer you invest your time and yourself into coaching, it's like the bigger the snowball becomes. But no matter where you stop with the coaching, the snowball's still moving forward. It's just, yeah, I find this to be really interesting about coaching is that no matter when you stop it, it's still going to have effects for the rest of your life. But
Absolutely. Absolutely. And especially at the beginning, I had this concept that, okay, there's a few things that are wrong with me. So I fix them and then I'm done. I'm ready. Then I have life figured out. Nothing could be further from the truth, obviously. But it was a very comfortable belief that I only need to do this for a certain amount of time, and then there will be a point when I'm done. And it again, took me some time and some coaching to realize that the goal is not getting to the point when I'm done. It's going to be very boring when it's done. It's reacting to what's around me. It's figuring out how what's around me serves me and how I serve things that I feel I need to serve, and not serve other things that I don't want to. That also is something that kind of sustainability aspect of this work that happens in a coaching situation that unfortunately usually is beyond 3 months to make sure that the effects are long term, real long term. And some of the practices and exercises and habits that we have managed to build, they needed a bit of hand holding and a bit of kind of keeping to track, so I don't give up too easy, too early.
So this brings up one of the I guess one of the things that I personally as a coach want to make sure of, and I think is also a fear for a lot of people when they get into hiring someone to help them with something. So for instance, if you hire a, I don't know, a personal trainer, or you hire a nutrition specialist, or you hire a chiropractor, you know, people don't they're almost afraid if they start investing into something like this that it's like, oh, I'll be attached to that and I'll never be able to stop doing it. And then I'll be dependent on that in order to live life. And, you know, it's almost a fear that people have of getting stuck into, I guess, investing in something that is going to just ask them that they have to keep doing it, have to keep doing it, have to keep doing it. And one of my biggest, I guess, goals as a coach is to make sure that my clients, when they work with me, you know, of course we can always keep working together. And of course we can always go deeper. We can always coach more. But I want my clients to feel like they can, if they want to, step away from coaching and continue working with what we've worked on so far and maintain it themselves and still grow in their life without like needing me to be able to continue growing in life. So what would you say to that?
I had this example about a bit more than 1.5 years ago when I really felt that after about 2 years of work together, I'm kind of ready. I want to try this on my own. I want to see how that goes. And instead of that, what we agreed on was to start coaching sessions to be more spaced away from one another and not do this every week, every other week, but do it maybe once a month, maybe once every 4 to 5 weeks. And that was a great move so that it helped me realize that when I feel that I'm ready to do something, that's not entirely true. I'm ready to do a great deal of things, but I will open up new experiences that I could use some help coaching on. And that's what we've been doing for the past year or so, that I only bring back very specific little things, and then we, you know, put the word to write based on those. But the one thing that really is circulating in my head right now is the time you told me you shouldn't look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm a project. I have milestones that I need to hit. I have a timing against some of the things I'm working on, which obviously I had in mind when we started off. So to me, this whole idea of being ready and be released from a coaching relationship is a little funny. It doesn't work that way, really. At least in my belief, it doesn't. But it's nice knowing that there's a safety net where I can come back to. So now I'm preparing for another change in my life, and I think that for the next few months we'll probably put our relationship on hold from a coaching perspective. But I'm very confident that once I work my way through that change, I'll come back because then there will be other things that I could use some coaching on, and other things where I can get more clarity, get more reinforcement, and get more comfort around what's happening around me.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like once you start working with a coach and you realize I have this resource available to me, I can walk away for a period of time, but I know as life evolves, I'm going to hit points in time where I'm like, I want to work with a coach again. like I want someone to make sure that I'm not holding myself back again. I'm not selling myself short. I'm not convincing myself that I'm doing everything that I can when in reality there's a lot more that I want to and can do with my life. And I think, yeah, that's a really powerful aspect of coaching. And it's like I said, you could work with a coach for the rest of your life and there would always be stuff to coach on, but it's not like you have to do it. I think for most people what ends up happening is after you work with a coach and you understand the power of what coaching can help you with, and then you kind of go out on your own and start doing stuff by yourself. It's not that you're like dependent on coaching, but you realize that resource is there and you're like, why wouldn't I use it if it's there?
And part of that journey is actually realizing that that resource is available. Then part of the journey is to realize that that resource is not only available, but is also flexible. And then another part of the journey is realizing the resource that comes from coaching is for me and not for anything else or anybody else. And all of that kind of builds out a trajectory in which we move forward as coaching clients, I believe. And it's a very different journey for all of us at the end of the day, because we come from very different upbringings, very different problems, and have very different wants and needs.
Absolutely. What would you say? Because I'm kind of giving you questions here that I know are concerns and I guess objections that people give me when I talk to them about like, why aren't you working with a life coach? Even if it's not working with me, if I just want to ask them in general, why haven't you hired a life coach? So one of the biggest, I guess, I don't know, questions, obstacles, concerns that I get from people is the value of it. So in other words, put in their words, it costs too much. And anytime someone tells me it costs too much, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. So we have I feel compelled to tell them about the difference between an investment and cost, because I feel like this is a concept that a lot of people don't understand. And then also really explaining the value that coaching provides in a person's life and being able to, I guess, equate that to a dollar sign in time investment for people. Because for a lot of people, it's like I don't know, I think for a lot of people, they don't believe in their ability to change. And therefore, they don't see the value in working with a coach, much less investing money in working with a coach. So you've worked with me now for, like you said, almost 3 years. What would you say to someone who is concerned about this, like the value of the coaching provides for your life versus the investment that you put into it?
As most investments, this is not a straight line in terms of value realization. But it's a little bit like getting a gym membership at the beginning. You do this so you can feel a little bit better about yourself and your health. And then you go every so often and you're like, yeah, it's kind of great, but yeah, I just know I need to do it. And then you find an instructor or a class that you really like. So you would go more often. You would seek out those times. You would reorganize your time around it because it gives you more. And that's how I think about coaching as well. And that was my experience with you, that at the beginning, I knew this was going to have to be an investment. So I will need to make certain changes in my spending patterns to allow for this to happen. Because that means that if I want to keep my savings targets as well, then I can't spend on certain things so much as I used to before. And after that, as we started the work and as certain things started shifting, I realized that I was very short-sighted about the nature of this investment. Because how can I put a price tag on not feeling miserable? How can I put a price tag on wanting to get out there and meet new people? How can I put a price tag on actually looking forward to going home and meet my family, the thing that I've dreaded for years before? I don't know if it's possible to begin with, but even if it is, does it really make sense to put a price tag on these things? I'm not entirely certain about that. But the investment that I made into coaching have paid out on aspects of my life that are so varied, so far from one another. And it's just such a vast opportunity and enablement that opened up for me with the work that we've been doing, that I would be a fool not to invest in it any longer. Then again, we all have situations in our lives where our disposable income isn't as much as we'd like. So we can always think about something more flexible. And we did when I had problems with that. But I think it's a very simple equation. I would be doing myself a disservice not investing in myself over the long term.
Absolutely. And you said something really important there too. And this is something that I've actually worked with quite a few of my clients that I coached, and it took them a little while before they were ready to invest in coaching, was that in the beginning they had this whole story about how much disposable income they had. And when they gave me some time to really talk with them about their life and how they were spending their money and where they were spending their money, it became clear for them that there were some areas in their life that they were actually spending money because they weren't getting anything back on it that was valuable to their life, where they could pull back investing in, well, not even investing, and they were just throwing their money at it and put that aside to go towards coaching and really create a life in which those things that they were throwing their money at, they were throwing their money at it because they were so unhappy with their life. And when you're happy, when you're fulfilled by your life, you're not throwing your money into these things. So I think one of the financial benefits of working with a coach is that you find in the end you're not wasting your money on things that are designed to just help you emotionally cope with life. And instead, you're investing your money in things that are truly valuable for you in life and that bring value back to your life. And, you know, then of course, on top of that, you open up the earning opportunities. So, for instance, when we started coaching together, you at one point in time in the middle of our coaching, you had this possibility to advance your career, and you know, we kind of coached you through breaking that ceiling, that belief of I don't know if I can do this, I don't know if I should do this, I don't know if it's for me, and really got you to this point where not only did you take a new job with a pay raise that was an advance in your career, an advanced step in your career, but now you're even at the point where you're like, okay, I want to go a little bit further. And now you're considering starting your own business, which is super exciting for me. Like that's really, really exciting. So yeah, I think this is one thing that people don't consider when they look at their finances and they're like, oh, I can't afford coaching. A lot of times when someone tells me this, I tell them, you can't afford not to. Really.
At the end of the day, it's almost similar to taking painkillers or getting the fix that you need to avoid the pain. We may think that one is better than the other, but we end up spending equal amounts of money, and one actually fixes the problem while the other just masks the problem away.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is what a lot of people who tell me they don't have the money to invest in a coach, I look at where their money is going and it's going into masking away the pain. It's kind of like throwing Advil at cancer is what I tell people. Like you can throw Advil at it and you won't feel the pain of it, but at the same time, it's still there and it's still growing in the background and you'll need more and more Advil to deal with the pain that comes from this. Or you can get the treatment. You can get the chemo, you can get the radiation, you can get the whatever it is to treat. It's really the difference between these two. And you know, if you're throwing Advil at cancer, eventually that Advil is going to cost way more than the treatment would have cost you in the long run.
As an Advil fan, I find this personally offensive, but no, I understand. I understand the image, and it's very true. And also in my life, if I think about how much money I spend on things that were only numbing me as a person, as opposed to giving me fulfillment, filling me up with energy so that I can be showing up in a way that I feel I want to. I still spend a ridiculous amount of money on some of these things, but for a very different reason. And I think that that kind of mindset and that kind of consciousness of spending patterns and how those spending patterns then help you move forward in life is something that I also learned through coaching.
Yeah. And when you understand how your spending patterns are moving you forward in life, it also becomes a lot easier in each chapter of life to be able to say, okay, well, right now in this chapter of life, this spending pattern's not going to work. So how do I adjust it? And it's not this like huge freak out that you're adjusting spending patterns and pulling money away from something and putting into something else. I find for a lot of people that are unaware of how this works and why they're spending the money on these things, when you tell them, you know, stop spending $800 a month on Starbucks, and they like are about to have a heart attack about this because you're they want to take that $800 and invest it somewhere else that would actually put value into their life instead of the Starbucks, and it causes this really massive amount of, I don't know, panic for them. And then when you can really understand the patterns and how your spending can create a life of fulfillment for you and how pulling investments away from other things and into other things creates that fulfilling. I feel like it causes less panic for people when they start exploring options like this.
That example reminds me of something that I feel very strongly about, and it may not really belong on the podcast, so feel free to cut it if you want. But the place of comfort in our lives. We have been lulled into this false sense of comfort over the past few decades, that everything has to be comfortable. We don't want pain in our lives, and you know, I don't want pain in my life either, so that's very understandable. And if it's not comfortable, it's not good. And one of the things that I had to realize over the past few years is that sometimes growing is deeply uncomfortable. And sometimes finding your own path is deeply uncomfortable. Many times saying no to things is extremely uncomfortable, but it serves you on the long run. Don't get me wrong, I still think comfort has a place in any human being's life. I would not give up my Sunday afternoon naps for the love of my life. But because they serve a purpose, they're not a given. There's a purpose to it. And sometimes I will be the first one to admit that I need to schedule time when I'm not doing something purposefully, so I can just stare out of the window, read a book, listen to music, do something. But then that is my fulfillment time. So indirectly, it still serves a purpose, even if it's not necessarily very comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, yeah, it's interesting. It's like free time, but at the same time, it serves a purpose because the purpose was to have free time. Yeah, absolutely. So, ending this conversation, one last question that I have for you. Because I know that there are still people out there that are kind of like, I don't know, maybe not. So for people out there that are considering working with a coach, but feel uncertain about whether or not it's worth it or that it could possibly help them. Any final words that you would say to them? Just a word of, I don't know, advice, a word of, insight that you have from your experience of working with a coach.
Coming back to one of the thoughts that I shared earlier in the podcast, you can doubt this. You don't have to believe in it from the start, but just give a glimpse of opportunity. Test it out. See how it feels. See where it takes you. And then make a final decision when you've spent a bit of time sticking with it. One of the things that I also did a lot when I was in my very apologetic time was that was saying that I'll try doing this or I'll try doing that. So just try and see what happens. And one of the things that may happen is that you stop trying and you're actually going to start doing things, which is not always a bad thing.
Absolutely. So I've had you on here for now a little over an hour. Thank you for coming on and talking to everybody on the podcast. I'm sure this is going to be very helpful for a lot of people to hear from someone who's been coached by me, who's been through coaching, to kind of talk about what the experience is like on that side of it, coming from me. And I'm talking about being a coach. I think even when I talk about the times that I've been coached, people don't really listen to me because I am a coach. So thank you for coming on and talking to people about this. I think you shared a lot of really valuable information, as well as from your experience of coaching. And thank you for, the last almost 3 years of us working together. It's been really, really great getting to work with you and watch you grow and change and evolve your life and really take the things that we talk about in our sessions and put them into practice in life. That's been really awesome to watch. So thank you. Thank you so much. And yeah, if you want to say goodbye to everyone, and then maybe we'll have you on again another time.
Never say never. But thanks for having me, Seth, first of all, on the podcast as well as and as well as a client. I hope that some of the things I shared are gonna help people who are listening. And if not, then I will close by apologizing for that.
All right, Tomas, thank you so much for being on, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Ciao. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the content of this podcast. If you did, please subscribe so that you're one of the first people to know when I release a new episode each week. If you have any questions, or if you have interest in learning more about the coaching that I do with my clients one-on-one, then just head over to my website at www.lifecoachseth.com. That's www.lifecoachseth.com. There, you're going to have the ability to reach out to me for questions that you might have, or to book your free discovery call with me to discuss what one-on-one coaching with me might be like for you. You can also check out and order your copy of my book to get a taste of what I'm all about as a person and as a coach. I'm so happy that you joined us today, and I hope to have you here again next week. So until then, let authenticity be the guide to your most unstoppable and fulfilling journey of life. Thank you.